Hello, and welcome back to another bite-sized episode of Career Mentorship. One of the biggest trends we've seen in hiring over the last year has been the rise of fractional careers. The pandemic has changed the way we work forever, and that has meant top talent has started to reevaluate their relationship with work and how they want to work. One of the most common factors that's come out of this was the increasing desire for more freedom and flexibility. Pursuing a fractional career can provide both of those. Not only are you able to work across different projects and businesses, but you also have the freedom to structure this in whatever way works best for you. Now, you might be a founder listening to this thinking this is really only beneficial for talent, but that isn't the case. There are so many benefits for employers. You can get access to highly experienced operators at a fraction of the cost and even try before you buy. To tell you more about how building a fractional career works in practice and some of the pitfalls you might want to consider, we invited our very own fractional MD at JBM, Ben Sanders, to share more about his own experience of a portfolio career with you all today. So let me hand you over to Ben, who can tell you more.
My name is Ben Sanders. I'm originally from New York City, and I started my career in management consulting with Bain & Company, initially in the Madrid office, and then I was in London for about 5 years. So after Bain, I moved to a client of ours that I had actually worked on in project-based capacity with Worldpay, which is the global payments company. And there, I did go-to-market for a series of new products ahead of their IPO. So they were about 12, 14 months out of IPO when I joined. After the IPO, I actually really wanted to go smaller and like build a company rather than be part of something that was already built. So I moved to a neobank called Pocket, which, you know, the mission and the vision was to provide financial services for people who were excluded in the UK. So financial inclusion is a big thing in the UK, and Pocket was really trying to address that. We grew the company to a really strong competitive position in the UK, but I decided I wanted to do something more global. And I went to run Europe for a company called Pollen, which was at the time a SaaS provider for the experiences industry. So it did some software that enabled the experiences industry, like festivals and clubs, to sell more tickets. I focused on scaling that SaaS product in Europe and the US while rolling out new propositions like a marketplace. So Pollen started as SaaS and then went into marketplace. And then we had our first child in late 2020, and it was in the middle of all of the COVID lockdowns. So I decided I wanted more flexibility in my career. And also I wanted more quality of life. You know, I like the sun, and London, for all its virtues, is not the first place you think of with sun. So my wife and I made the decision to move back to Spain, where I started my career. So that sort of really opened this fractional career path for me. I think fractional really appealed, you know, to me because I've always liked variety. So getting to work with a lot of different teams in different geographies across different sort of business opportunities and problems was really appealing to me. And within my fractional career, I've done all sorts of things from pure advisory to actual C-suite roles across pre-seed companies all the way to PE backed. So I've at different points seen everything. So it's been super rewarding. So, you know, it's interesting. I'm often asked, what is a fractional career or portfolio career and how it works? And I don't think that there's one simple answer. You know, a fractional or portfolio career can mean different things to different people based on what they want. You know, at a high level, I think it does mean doing multiple things at the same time without being full-time in any one thing. But there is tons of variety, you know, within that. So I've seen some people have a full-time job, but do discrete projects like building fundraising materials on the side. I've seen some people who do one freelance project after another, you know, so they're much more kind of project based. Some are interim executives, and some just do, you know, a mixture of everything. I mean, again, in terms of how it works, it's very much up to the fractional person and their client to kind of work out, you know, the best way. I mean, I think in general, there are deliverables and there are responsibilities, and you have to complete them within time frames. You agree. It could be that, you know, it's 5 days a week and you know, you're doing things like that. It could be that there are certain milestones that you need to hit, or it could just be, you know, something else that you guys agree. So there's no set way to do it. But in general, fractional and portfolio is just doing multiple things, you know, at the same time. I started fractional or portfolio in January 2021. And one of the really interesting things is 2 years later, it's become really popular both with clients and candidates. And I think fractional has become really popular for, you know, for multiple reasons. One of the first things I would say is I think COVID really scrambled everything. So 3-4 years ago, remote first or hybrid companies were, if not non-existent, certainly rare. And so typically most people lived close to where they worked, and the companies had traditional operating models where, you know, all of the team or most of the team was in the same geography and you were expected in the office 5 days a week. The COVID situation shifted everything remote and people moved everywhere, right? And I think that the model changed significantly because all of a sudden, if you were a candidate, you can work from wherever you want. And maybe you don't need to do a consistent full-time job because you can do some kind of project or an engagement and then go to Mexico or Bali for 2 months. You could have life flexibility. And so if you have young children, you could say, actually, you know what? I'm going to put my private life or my personal life first. And then my professional life will kind of, you know, fit into that. And if you're a hiring manager or, you know, startup founder, maybe on one level, you realize you don't need your whole team in the central office 5 days a week, or that some of the responsibilities are important, but maybe don't require 24/7 focus. And then also, if you think about it more from a hiring perspective, all of a sudden you have access to a global talent base that are willing to join your company in a way that would have been impossible in the old model. You know, so I think that as both sides got accustomed to the new dynamic, the hiring model shifted because a lot of top talent were like totally unwilling to go back to the old model, and hiring managers had to make concessions as they saw fit. So that, I think, was what was happening for, you know, certainly 12, 18 months. And then I think the last 6 months has been kind of a shift a bit more towards the middle, which is, you know, obviously there have been quite a lot of layoffs in the tech industry, and a lot of talent have lost their jobs and are beginning to reassess what they want. So some are, you know, looking to spread across multiple things to de-risk, but also have this new lifestyle. However, I think that hiring managers, you know, saw Elon Musk's stuff with Twitter and Tesla, and are really beginning to try to push lots of people back to a full-time setup in, you know, in office. And so I think a lot of people are also reacting against that, where they kind of like what they've had and they want to keep it. So I think that COVID and like how people changed because of COVID really drove, you know, the popularity. And I can tell you, you know, being the MD of SOS and, you know, JBM SOS, the flexible hiring solution, and just seeing all of the inbounds, both from clients and candidates, you really do see how much more interest and comfort there is with the model than there was even, you know, 6-8 months ago. I'm sure some people listening to this might be like, wow, this sounds great. What's the catch? You know, what are the pros and cons? So what I would say is fractional, portfolio, et cetera, you know, have very hardcore pros and cons, right? Like, it's not a perfect setup and, you know, you have to go into it with your eyes open. So I think in terms of pros, there are tons of flexibility. You know, you have much more control over your diary, your life setup. Then there's lots of variety in great teams and companies. You just get to meet so many more people, and you're getting stuck into so many different things that if you're so inclined, it's, you know, it's really interesting. I think the other important thing to remember as a pro is that, you know, your professional trajectory is still advancing because you're still in really interesting companies doing great things, and you're gaining lots of experience and skills that you could speak to. However, if you think of cons, again, a lot of it depends on just who you are, what your, you know, your priorities are. But one is, I think if you think about from the perspective of being a fractional exec, you are slightly removed from the day-to-day culture. You know, you can't attend as many events as you would like. You're not in the office soaking up the environment the same way. So I think that distance can be a bit tough if you're someone who really likes to get involved in the culture. I think also you're more exposed in some ways to macro factors. So as a non-FTE, you're the easiest to let go if there's any type of change in strategy or financial setback. So you have to be prepared for a degree of just risk that your role might not be guaranteed as much as you would have thought it was. And then also, if it's not a natural strength of yours, context switching can be quite difficult, right? Like if you're doing multiple things at the same time, if you opt for that model, you might have to be wearing different hats at different times and you kind of get a bit sort of dizzy from all of it. So yeah, I think, again, the pros and cons are highly dependent on who you are and what you're trying to get out of your professional setup. But those are definitely some. I think there are a lot of challenges to pursuing a fractional career. For starters, even though, as mentioned before, you know, it's getting more popular, most people haven't heard of it. So even if there have been shifts in working models, most founders or CEOs really believe in their culture, their company, and they want their teams 5 days a week and as office based as possible because they're worried about culture, focus, et cetera. So a remote fractional model doesn't sound appealing to them. Therefore, you either have to spend a lot of time looking for opportunities that are clearly marked for fractional. I'll give a plug there to JBM SOS because that is definitely one strong route to providing those. Or you have to convince people that the fractional model can work for their company. But again, that type of convincing and persuasion can be quite difficult. So yeah, really getting convincing people that what you offer can drive value to their company can be difficult. There's also an additional piece, which is it depends on what sort of fractional services you're offering. If you're offering well-defined services like marketing, finance, engineering, it's easy because I think the hiring manager understands explicitly what, you know, what they're getting very quickly. But if you're more of a generalist, you know, general management, ops, things like that, it might be hard to initially convince a founder of the value you can provide. So you need case studies, you need strong references, you need a tight narrative. Again, there's like a degree of selling, which can be tough. And it, you know, it's not necessarily for everyone. And I think also, you know, the general uncertainty of hiring plays a role where you can have a conversation with someone and in the moment they're super interested, but then something else higher priority comes in, the funding situation changes, you know, whatever, things move very quickly in startups. And all of a sudden, the role you discussed doesn't exist, or you're chasing them on emails and they're ghosting you, right? So I think you have to have a very thick skin about not ever being the top priority for someone and also not sort of counting your chickens until they hatch in terms of until you're actually with a signed contract in the business doing the work you signed up for. You don't have anything, you know? So that kind of uncertainty can be quite challenging as well. I love advice. So I love giving advice to people on building a fractional career. So to finish off today's episode, I thought I'd share some advice with everyone for building a fractional career. The first big piece of advice I would give is this is less professional and it's more kind of holistic, which is work out what your top life priorities are. Do you want to maximize money? Do you want to live somewhere else? Do you want to have a lot of time off? Do you want to spend time with your family? Working out what your priorities are informs where you're going to focus and what type of roles you want to do and what types of companies, right? So some of the fractional people or the portfolio people I've seen wanted to change from, say, B2C to B2B or change from VP to C-level. So their whole purpose behind doing fractional wasn't the money and it wasn't the flexibility. It was very much, you know, the professional side, right? Other people, as I mentioned in, you know, in early parts, they're trying to maximize lifestyle, right? I was trying to maximize balance across all those things when I chose to sort of go in down this path. So I think you just need to really work out why you're even considering this, because it might well be that as you work out the priorities, it turns out fractional isn't for you for various reasons. And that's fair too, right? I think the second thing is you need to articulate your value proposition, right? Because if you think about some of the cons and the challenges I was talking about, it's all about convincing people that you add value, right? And I think if you have that narrative down, it makes everything much easier, right? So I would suggest thinking through what do you bring to the table? Why would someone hire you? what outputs do you think you could tangibly drive? What results have you driven in other places, right? If you can't come up with a compelling narrative about why you will help a company, it's hard to then justify you pursuing a fractional career because you won't be able to convince other people you're the right fit or worth the investment or even what you do exactly, right? So you need to really be thinking, well, what do I bring to the table? What's my value prop? The third piece of advice I would give is tap into your network. There are lots of great roles and opportunities out there, but either they're never advertised or they are sitting in places like JBM SOS, where if you don't know, you're never going to know, right? So don't just tap into your friends, but your broader professional network and let people know you're looking for things. Try to have some degree of specificity in terms of what you're looking for, you know, and what the ask is of other people. But you actually never know who knows someone or who's looking for something similar to what you're trying to do or who can help you. So really leverage, everybody you know, both personally and professionally. And then I think the other thing I would say is be open to starting in a much smaller role in a try before you buy setup and over deliver. So both in my own experience and most of what we see with JBM SOS, a lot of companies are still making their mind up about fractional or making their mind up about the individual or the role. So they're not just going to sign off on a significant amount of money or significant role without seeing proof points. So you need to focus on getting your foot in the door, over delivering, really weaving yourself into the culture, and then hopefully you'll get inbound interest back saying, hey, we'd love for you to do this much more because you're doing such a good job, right? So don't make perfect the enemy of good here and just try to get your foot in the door, and then you could turn it into what you want. And to plug SOS again, there are multiple opportunities, you know, always on offer in different forms that can definitely help with that.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I really hope that this episode has been useful for you. If you're intrigued by the prospect of going into a fractional career yourself, or if you would like to hire fractional talent, then please make sure you check out our SOS offering or get in touch with my colleague Marina on marina@jbmc.co.uk. That's all from us today, but I really hope I'll see you again on Wednesday for another episode of Pocket-Sized Career Mentorship.